And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedom's of the Nest, Freedom's Phoenix of the Dock. David Morgan, everyone get right to it. We had to restart the computer. He was there on Zoom, but the camera's gone. Don't worry about it. Donna's working on it to have him on here in a couple of seconds, but gives me time to introduce him and tell you a little story. David Morgan, a precious metals aficionado armed with degrees in finance and engineering, he created the MorganReport.com website and originated the Morgan Report, a monthly that covers economic news, overall financial health of the global economy, currency problems, and the key reasons for investing in the resource sector. Now, we're going to be talking about resource sector. What does that mean? I bet you it means a lot about silver, because he's a big silver kind of guy. Because what happened was many of Mr. Morgan's early readers have gone on to start their own publications about silver. So Tim Pachote, Liberty Advisor, he was really excited about sharing the stage, you know, with David Morgan, because he goes, oh, this is the guy I've been around for a while. Now, David considers himself a big picture macro economist whose main job is education, educating people about honest money and the benefits of a sound financial system. Now, his ideas have been seen in the movie Four Horsemen, a feature documentary. You know, RenegadeInc.com, RenegadeInc, RenegadeInc.com brings you Four Horsemen, an award-winning independent feature documentary which lifts the lid on how the world really works. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I want to get that because a lot of people, yeah, he was in the Four Horsemen. So I wanted to go ahead and make sure we got that in so that we understood what that was about. You know, that's been, you know, a thing. So we'll go ahead. And David Morgan, I'm glad we got you back. We did a good introduction on you, and we wanted to say hello, filling time while we got you back up. We got you there, David?
Yes, sir. I'm right here. Thank you.
Okay, good. What we're going to do is we'll get some graphics up and so on. But tell me about the Four Horsemen. A lot of people associate you with the movie The Four Horsemen, and that seemed on top of people's minds. I have not seen it. Tell us about it and what role you play in it.
Well, I was at a investment conference focused on precious metals in London several years ago, and I was approached by the filmmaker's wife, actually, after the conference. She said, we'd like to do an interview with you. We're doing a documentary on basically the Age of Empire. It's called the Four Horsemen film. You can see it at thefourhorsemenfilm.org. And I said, excuse me, everyone, I've got a cold. So,
well, thank you for hanging, you know, suffering with us.
I will be coughing a little bit. So I said, I'd be very happy to do it, but I leave tomorrow. And she goes, oh my, let me check. So she left, she went to talk to her husband. And I took a cab across London and I sat down in a chair. We did an interview for probably close to 2 hours. And what I didn't know exactly is how the film is going to come about, etc. So basically, the film is about the Age of Empire, how it's a cyclical thing, how you go through different stages. We're in the final phase of the Age of Empire right now, which is the Age of Decadence, and where things collapse and they start the process over again. So what they did was they took certain clips of mine and many others that they interviewed for this film and they put them all together in a sequence that makes, you know, very much sense about where we are, where we're going, and possible solutions at the end. It's about an hour and a half long, and it is for free. So, excuse me. So again, anyone that's sort of that has a feeling that something's not quite right, you know, like the old Matrix movie, you know, there's something bothering you, you don't know what it is, but it's there. Anyone that's sort of in that place, if you watch the Four Horsemen film, I think it'll really put a lot of the puzzle pieces together for you very succinctly, and there's very little to argue about. It's really not beating up on the bankers or anybody else. It's just laying out the foundation that this process happens over and over again in humanity. So,
what process? You know, describe that for us.
Well, the process, I guess, that you say that we never learn. Basically, we go from an area where we have to start out exploring the pioneer age. You go out and look and find stuff and value everything you find because you have basically nothing. And then you build that up into the frontier stage. And I forget all the phases. But as humanity accumulates stuff, or you could do it on a smaller scale, a city state or whatever, they get to where they get kind of this overabundance. And people get lazy, and they don't realize kind of where their roots came from. And you get into things. One of the things in the film that surprised me, because, you know, I watched it for the first time like everybody else when it came out.
When was that? When did it come out?
It's been about 7 years, I believe.
Okay. Well, it had enough time. Yeah, it was, I got to hear, 2012. You know, so yeah, it had an impact. A lot of people were yakking about, ooh, the Four Horsemen guy. I'm like, what, man, I don't remember this film. But, you know, it had a big impact. When it came out, what kind of impact did it have then?
Well, a lot, I believe. But, you know, it's always individual. There's some people that don't like it, probably. But the thing that kind of hit me between the eyes, so to speak, was as it's talking about where we are now, the age of decadence, and it's near the collapse, is the similarities between now and other ages when this happened. And they used the Roman Empire, and they talked about how much they coveted chefs, that cooking was like the number one thing. And I remember from my study of the Roman Empire of the, you know, they'd eat and purge, eat and purge, eat and purge. Well, now you have this, you know, the Iron Chef. I don't know him. I don't watch a lot of mainstream TV, but there's the Iron Chef and Bobby Flay and blah, 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 blah. And this, the chef status thing has gotten extremely high in our society. So, like, as I just said, hit me between the eyes, like, wow, here we are repeating this whole process again. And that was just an example, but there are several in the movie.
Well, I'm looking forward to your presentation with us here, talking about what you talked about there with cryptocurrency and silver. Because you and I, probably, you know, of a lot of the people are kind of the same mind. I'm a silver stacker. And for me, you know, crypto is like a good way to move around my silver and keep some based on principle of different things that it does and so on. I'm not like a crypto trader like a lot of these guys. Woohoo, man, we're making a bunch of money on the moves in crypto. And, you know, go get married your crypto and trade your crypto and pay, and you're going to make some money on crypto. And I'm like, the tech was not there for me for that. You know, I'm more of a silver guy, and I have the crypto as a good way to move around my silver when I want to go somewhere else, you know? And so why silver? With you, silver is a big thing. Explain that to people.
Well, I, you know, started on this quest as a young man, and I was fascinated by money. You might say almost obsessed about it. And the idea that you could become financially free really, really hit me hard. I thought, well, geez, how do you do that? How do you obtain it? But I had the idea in mind that if you had enough of this stuff, you had less restrictions. You could travel more. You could do more things. You might not have to answer to as many people, that type of thing. So when I started looking into it, I found very early on that there are periods in history where we have, you know, an unsound monetary system. And every time that has been tried, it's failed. So I started looking at, you know, monetary history, which is one of my main studies. And what we find again and again and again is that we go from like a stable monetary system to that stable.
We're going into break. David Morgan, or we're still, you know, we got all the graphics up there and doing for him. We'll see if we can get our internal camera working. But, you know, this is great. You know, David Morgan was a big hit there, and everybody was happy. I know Tempa Choate, Liberty Advisor, was happy to stand on the same stage with him. And he has some questions. He wanted to make sure I asked you about this 87% of the move in a short period of time when we come back. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop you.
Yes, I am. Okay, what we're going to do now, we got the camera thing. Can you see me now?
I can.
Okay, so yeah, we're good. All right. Now, Tempa Choate, I don't know if you remember him. He was the last young man that spoke before you did the group questioning thing. So smart kid. He's got it going on. And he wanted to make sure, he sent me an email. He wanted me to make sure that you talked about the massive move in price right in just a short period of time. It's like, when do you gauge that? And so on. Do you know what he's talking about? I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, I know exactly what he means.
Okay, yeah, let's bring that in. We'll finish up on silver. And then, of course, we want to get into your endorsement of, you know, whatever crypto and so on that you're seeing, what role that's playing in the market. And then, but when we come back, I'll, you know, pimp you more about, you know, your Morgan report and all your appearances on media and all that. And then I'm going to throw it to you on that question, okay?
Okay.
All right, that's what we'll do. We'll be back in about 45 seconds.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Especially David Morgan. You know, you're going, oh, it's just a time thing. You know, and here it be coming around. Coming around, coming around, coming around. Now, what we're going to do is, Tempa Choate had that. I remember hearing David talk about this from the stage, about the massive movements in a short period of time, and it's being set and ready for that. And the one thing I wanted to, you know, give him some props, he's publisher of the Morgan Report. He's appeared on I mean, how long a list I want to go. CNBC, Fox News, BNN, Canada, interviewed by Wall Street Journal, Future Magazine, Gold, blah, 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 blah. You know, the guy's got skills and a lot of people that listen to what he has to say. And he has a newsletter. First, let me suggest you sign up for our free newsletter and receive the updates on conferences, video presentations, webinars, special offers, tracking recent news and interviews. And they can do that where, David? Where do they go to find all about you?
Our main webpage is themorganreport.com. Themorganreport.com, all one word. Just give me a first name and a valid email. You'll have to verify it's you. You're not a robot, and you're in.
Boom. Boom, boom, boom. All right. Now, on the point that you were making from the stage, you talked about a lot of things, but one of the things is the short period of time when you have these massive jumps in value. And I've seen that. I'm old. I'm 57, born 61. I've seen exactly what you're talking about. All of a sudden, boom, in the late 70s, I'm in high school, getting ready to go to college, and my father was, here comes a run-up, and silver went stupid and gold, and he came out okay on that. I don't know if he sold out or what when he should have, but, I mean, damn. I sit there and watch, and then I seen it again, not too long ago. Are we due for another one? When does it happen? How do you know when it's coming? Talk about that with us.
Sure. So I gave this lecture. I've given this one a few times, that 90% of the move comes in the last 10% of the time. And this is true in it's true in most markets. In other words, the real estate bubble, housing market, the NASDAQ is a good example. The first one when the NASDAQ went from in the hundreds into the 5,000 level back in the early 2000. So it's an acceleration phase of all markets. So we don't know for certain that the next market will do exactly the same thing, but we do know history. So if you look at the first bull market that I lived through and the one you described that your dad was in, from basically 1965 to 1980, you could have bought silver at the monetary value in 1964 at $1.29 an ounce,
yeah,
and waited all the way through 1979, 14 years later or so, and it would be about $6. And in real terms, you had made some gains, but that was a long wait. But let's say you knew nothing about silver, but you were an exit speculator, and you decided to get in the silver market at that all-time high of $6 an ounce. It took 14, 15 years to get there. And you held it for 1 year. If you bought it in January 1979 at $6 and sold it in January 1980 for $50, you had an 800% increase. So when I did that lecture, I did the actual math. I've said this statement, 90% of the move in the last 10% of the time. Turns out if you want to do the arithmetic, it's 87.5% of the move in the last 7.5% of the time. But it's the idea that's
important. Yeah, 90-10 is pretty close, man.
So this is what happens, again, in most markets. You'll see, the real estate bubble. I mean, those mortgage brokers are going crazy right at the end as people that are smart enough to get out the top are getting out. But a lot of the latecomers are jumping in. And this is where you get this, excuse me again, this huge strength in the market. But it's going vertical. And you want to sell in the strength. You don't want to pick the top. That's an amateur's game. And if you try to do that and you wait too long, then that last buyer is in and there's no buyers left. And then the market will start down almost as fast.
Yeah, take your 600% gain.
Yeah, exactly. That's precisely it. You got it.
Well, this is it's happened again. I remember I went mostly in at about 13, because I'm old enough, I had enough and kind of got some. And then it, shot up to 40-something or whatever. And I'm going, I think I'll cash out a little bit and do it. And that's where it went into crypto. So I went to crypto when it was 200 and something or whatever. And so if you can gauge, but what are we looking for? How do we know when? And this big 90% increase again in silver, we're due? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think we have one more huge leg up, and whether or not it's 90% of the move and 10% of the time, I have no idea. Markets don't always obey that.
Yeah.
But the idea is sound, which means we'll see an acceleration phase, and there'll be more silver bought above $30 an ounce than it was bought below 30. I mean, everyone loves high-priced silver. Yeah. And this is true of most markets. People love that real estate when it's high-priced and the market's flipping, houses left and right, or the stock market. no one cared that much about the NASDAQ when it first hit 1,000. Once it went through 3,500, boy, everyone's jumping on. So this is exactly human psychology. People like to get on board when everyone else is getting on board. And so you got to be careful.
No, I have friends that go, Ernie, you keep saying silver, and it went down again, it's down. I go, good, I get to buy more, you know? Yeah. I don't have a problem with it being down at all. And when it starts going up and it hits over 16 and it was down like 1390 or whatever at one time here recently, and it goes, I'm going, God, man, I wish I could buy more. Then it starts going up, and I go, damn it, you know, it's going up. I mean, I'm pissed off it's going up. You know, so I, you know, are you feeling a little pissed off when it goes up? Are you?
Not really. I mean, there's so many people that have followed me in the silver market, some at high prices, some at medium prices, and some at low prices. But it's been a very discouraging market for like 6 years. So,
good, I get to buy more. Now's the time, man. So, how confident are you? You got any kind of a timeline? Of course,
I do. You know, and it's always tough because people want, you know, they trust me as they should, but no one has a crystal ball. I don't see this thing going 5 years longer. I think we're probably going to see a peak in 2020 or 2021 for the metals, but that's a guess. I don't know. But again, 90% of the moving tips at the time.
Yep. Okay. For what reason? I mean, are you looking at political and economic thing? Is it just time?
Everything coming together at the same time.
Yep.
Everything. The stock market's failing. The bond market's failing. The dollar isn't trusted anymore. You can't afford, you know, anything. The economy is deteriorating on a physical level, but prices keep increasing. And there's just a basic understanding psychologically, either consciously or unconsciously or both, that something is drastically wrong and there's nothing that's going to fix it. I need to get into something I can trust.
It's when the trust. Well, define that. I mean, something I can trust. And you started giving some props to crypto. You know, you're endorsing of something. You know, talk about that.
Well, something you can trust, and I'll just back off a little bit, meaning silver and gold are the most trusted financial assets, but let's say you're almost broke. But when you trust owning a jar of peanut butter more than you trust what the dollar is going to buy you in 2 months,
That's
a breakdown in trust, and people will buy a jar of peanut butter.
You know, that was one thing I heard. Charles Goyette wrote The Dollar Meltdown. He's a good friend. He used to be his producer, and he's called it the crack-up boom. I mean, you know what he's talking about?
Austrians call it that. Yes.
When we come back, you explain that. It's like I can get, like, a rock for this paper. We'll take it. You know, it's kind of thing. We'll be right back. David Morgan. Yeah, this is good. Thank you. Here, let me fix some camera stuff. I don't know, like grandkids or something. There we go. All right. What are some of the, let's make a note here, you know, so that we make sure we cover some of the stuff you want to make sure we cover. What are some things you want to make sure we get in the crack up boom? Let me make a note of that. I want to definitely let people know what that means. What other concept do you think we should get in there?
Oh, I don't know. I think we should obviously visit the cryptos. Other concept is, I think we've already hit it, but hit it again, is that all fiats always failed, but this is the first time it's a worldwide phenomenon. So it's not just going to be, you know, Weimar Republic and you can escape to Austria. There's going to be no escape. The only escape is going to be, you know, gold, silver, and crypto, probably.
Well, it's going to have to be some kind of crypto or something. We did... Peter Schiff comes on regularly, and we had, matter of fact, he spoke at one of our Freedom Summits that we did in like 05, I think it was, and he was screaming, get out of the dollar, man, here we go. He's before it all happened, and we had, you know, some individuals there with some resources and go, yeah, well, he said, thank God, somebody, you know, they went over there and made a bunch of money. They go, ooh, we called that one good. So Peter's been a favorite of a lot of people, but he's not into crypto. Of course, he'll take his crypto to, you know, put into his fund, but he was pimping gold money, and we have ads on Freedom's Phoenix, our webpage, for gold money. But the customer, it's a great idea. I got gold. I have access to it through a credit card, or I can spend gold. I got ordered some. I wanted to get the little gram things just to say I got some. $800 worth or 1,000 about, whatever it was, and it never came. No customer service. You got kind of good third party thing. And I'm going, here you go. Don't sit there and tell me all about this. And hell, I know the guys had them on talk. Nothing. I'm afraid to get it. You're still taking out a couple hundred bucks a month just out of principle to support the concept. I'm afraid to even do it. I can't get it. No customer service. I'm going, really pissing me off. So I'm going to make a big campaign out of it. One of these is going to shoot up, and I'm going to go, see, should have got crypto, you know? So that's one of the benefits of crypto is the fact that you control it, as long as you have faith in the blockchain. Then a couple of days ago, we had a story on Freedom's Phoenix. They're going, yeah, some of these blockchains are being hacked, you know, they're kind of, you know. So it's just, you know, where's the truth in there? And for someone like you to give an endorsement of this concept, you know, I think people would be very interested in what you had to say about this in general and specifically. So when we come back, that's what we'll do, okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. We'll do that.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Oh, yeah, we're going in down, 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 fiery. You know, this is, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're getting there. Here we're going. And we're going to have David explain it to us. David Morgan, themorganreport.com. One thing I want to make sure that we get to, we have a few things here. Let's go ahead and we'll talk about this. Now, we have the crack up boom. We want to make sure we get to that, what that means. We have cryptos coming on the scene. And here you have one of the big, you know, precious metal proponents. And he's going, yeah, maybe some cryptos kind of deal. All fiats fail. We're going to talk about that. What happens then what? And then the concept of gold money, goldmoney.com, I think it is. Gold money, Peter Schiff is really pushing this when he comes on the show. We got an account. We go up. I say, all right, we'll see how this goes. A couple hundred dollars a month for a couple of years. You know, they got some money of mine. Gold starts shooting. All of a sudden, it's like, hey, man, I want some of that money. Well, some friends have gotten, you know, a credit card that pulls off of that and so on. And I just got the account up there. And every couple, you know, $100 every month just goes in. When it builds up and, hey, you know, I want to get me some of them little gram things. And then they don't show up. Well, you took my money. Where's the customer service? Oh, well, we kind of, we're volunteers. We kind of doing, and I got all the records of all the communications of all the, and you know, the big example of this is you have a third party that's, it's kind of your gold. It's just not yours now. You just can't have it right now. Well, I got Bank of America telling me that. You know, so that's the difference in crypto, is that whether what the value is, up, down, whatever, at least I can freaking get it. You know, so gold money, I'm telling you, I'm talking to David Morgan, themorganreport.com, and all of his supporters listen to this, gold money. Where's my money? Damn it. You know, so anyway, so I get to have that say. I'm going to keep doing it, too, until they take care of business. But go ahead. We promised the audience that we'd talk about this crack up boom thing. Tell the audience what we're talking about, will you, David?
It's a term used mostly by the Austrians, but it's, you know, common financial term. So what is a crack up boom? Excuse me, folks.
No, that's fine. It sounds like you're getting better. When I start sounding like that, I'm getting better.
It's a crack up boom is a crash of the credit and monetary system due to a continual credit expansion and price increases that cannot be sustained long term. Often banks will attempt to prevent a crack-up boom by halting credit expansion, which is kind of what this tapering is all about, that the Fed has started, where they started to raise interest rates and try to sell some of the assets off of their balance sheet, but it's really not working. So what happens is it ends up backfiring, and the results are that the that this continuing money printing, the market at some point recognizes it. They know that you cannot print wealth. If you could print wealth, Zimbabwe would be the richest place on the planet. I mean, there's, you know, posters I use in some of my articles about, you know, penniless billionaires, you know. I mean, people that think you can print what can print wealth are vastly mistaken. Again, there's all kinds of examples throughout history. Zimbabwe is one that most people are familiar with, but it's happened in Argentina and many other countries. The Weimar Republic is another one.
It keeps having it happen in Argentina. What up with that? Give a quickie on that one. How well, are they able to keep doing this?
Yes, it's just the people have no control over the money system. The banks do. And they become something they become accustomed to. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. So they know that this crack-up boom is going to happen. And so what do they do? What I just said a moment ago. They'd rather take their Argentine pesos and buy a case of peanut butter or, you know, some good that is going to keep its value rather than hold on to that piece of paper. And then, of course, they reset, start with a new one, lop a few zeros off the old one, issue a new one with a different picture on it, and start the game all over again.
And we've seen that here with Mexico. You know, we're in Arizona here. I remember friends made a bank, you know, just going down in a portable trailer down on the border. And they just come across to exchange their paycheck into dollars so it had some value, you know, later that day, you know, and they charge a premium on it and they made bank. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for people to make money in this thing, but God, I mean, it's so devastating to a lot of people. Now, the solution to that, and the example that I heard is like, you know, I can buy a rake with this paper, or at least I got a rake. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing. All the Weimar Republic, you got the cash is there, and he stole the wheelbarrow. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing. And this is, you think is going to happen to all fiats? It's kind of, instead of an individual one, it might be the whole central banking system might go at once?
Well, all fiats have failed throughout history, so the dollar would be the first exception that it hasn't happened. And if you look at the 1913 dollar at 100 cents, the Federal Reserve itself will say that the current dollar is worth about 2.5 cents. So we lost about 98% by their own admission using their numbers, and I think their inflation numbers are bogus.
Yeah.
So what we're really arguing about is how long is this last 2.5 cents going to last? Is it going to last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, or is it going to last indefinitely? We don't really know.
Well, you know, a wealthy investor, a good friend, you know, said this one time. I go, man, it's going to zero. He goes, yeah, but it never gets to zero.
That's
it's always
true.
In it. It's going down, it's going down, it's going down. But it never gets to zero, and you just keep riding and trading all the way down to there's no number you can give me I can't cut in half. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm going, well, you know, it's down to 2%. So, I mean, you know, he's right so far. I mean, what's your comment on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, the idea that it's absolutely failed to zero, usually the banks, the government, the banks and government together will reissue the currency or reset it in some way, shape, or form. And that's, of course, what happened in the Weimar Republic. So what worries me so much now is that this is the first time that it's been a global phenomenon. This is where everybody's tied to the reserve currency of the U.S. dollar. So if you're looking at euros or Mexican pesos or Argentine pesos, Australian dollars, Canadian dollars, doesn't matter. Everybody's reserve is the U.S. dollar. And going back to what you said a moment ago, Ernest, when we have a situation where that currency's failing, it's very common for U.S. physical dollar bills, notes, to be used as the currency in that location. And there's a lot of strength to the dollar because of trust. It's a confidence game. There is nothing backing the dollar, but there's confidence that it'll buy you something.
Well, confidence from what? A machine gun? You know, is it from, you know, an F-15? You know, or is it, you know, because of America? I mean, that only has a life of so long. Is that going away?
Well, as I just said, 98% of it's gone away.
Yeah.
And
well,
the rest is going away. Yeah. It's just, you know, when is it? Am I right? Is it going to be by 2020, 2021? Will it go to absolute zero? Probably not. Will there be a reset? Yes. What will it look like? No one really knows. Will there be a new global currency issued? Who knows? Will there be a regional currency like the Amero that used to be talked about years ago? You never hear it anymore. I don't know. Will it be a federal backed cryptocurrency? I don't know. So it's hard to say which direction it'll go, but we know that the reset of some type is coming. We just don't know exactly what it's going to look like.
Well, you're thinking soon. I mean, you're talking about it being like after the 2020 election, before, soon after. This can't last?
Well, that's my projection. I could be wrong. I think not necessarily it will get a major reset. We will, but whether it be in 2020, 2021 or not, I don't know. What I'm saying about 2020 to 2021 is that's where we'll see a huge run-up in the precious metals. You'll probably still be able to cash them out for U.S. dollars if you care to.
Yeah.
The better move would be to put it into some other asset class that's undervalued, like perhaps real estate at the time. It's hard to say.
Do you think crypto's undervalued? I mean, is this a thing you had? There was a particular one that you were talking about, something that you were, Lode, which is, right. I saw them at an Acapulco last year. They were somehow tied to silver. How did you even do that?
Well, first of all, I'm not real favorable to cryptos, generally speaking. I like specie money, meaning that the value is based on something tangible. I like the blockchain concept, and I'm partial to Lode because it is a silver-backed currency.
A silver-backed currency. How is that done? We'll talk about it more with David Morgan. I don't want you to go over the music and have to worry about, because this is a good thing that we want to hear about. David Morgan, themorganreport.com, if you want to know what's up. He's the man. In respect of a lot of the other economics guys, they were very happy to be on the same stage with him. Be right back.
The new fourth edition of Healing Our...
Yeah, when we come back, Lode, I talked to the guys last year and kind of got a beat on whatever they're trying to connect it to. But it's just like, they got, J.P. Morgan or GoldmanSachs.gov coin or whatever they're coming out with to do tied to the dollars. But to tie it to anything, I'm wondering the mechanism by which they do that. Can you help me with that when we come back?
You bet. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll be right back.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay. I'm looking at Lode, the crypto that is L-O-D-E, and they were at Acapulco last year, giving the full court press. They were doing it this year, and David is kind of, hey, man, David Morgan, themorganreport.com, and he'll take a looky-see over there. Now, what I'm putting up here, he'll explain it to us here in a second. I'm going, how Lode One works. Both public and private silver mining companies are invited to commit Lode 1 grade silver into the Lode AGX system in exchange for AGX coins. So somebody's given, silver to get coins. All right, cool. This happens as a means to speculate on the future physical silver bullion requirements and to improve purchasing power with the merchant network. AGX coins may flow between miners and vendors or may serve as a form of payment for employees and contractors. They're turning silver into a crypto, and I'm going, all right, however you do that. But my first question, and I haven't seen an answer in here, is where is the freaking silver that backs it up? Where do they put it? I want to know. All right, David, help me out, man. Where is it? Wait. I'm sorry, I had the wrong button pushed. I'm sorry. Where is it, David?
SWP in the Cayman Islands is the main vault.
So there is a vault. Somewhere Yes. We got us a vault. We're vaulting it.
Correct.
All right. So I want to make sure we got, we got a vault somewhere. And how is there somebody auditing or somebody in charge? Is there some guy with a gun or some agency or something? Make me feel better.
There is. It's pretty standard for what I call precious metals holding companies.
Yeah.
To do what's called a bail-in or bail-mint procedure or process. And that's exactly what it is. So there's a chain of command as far as a paper audit trail that goes in for basically every ounce that goes into the vault.
Yeah, but I got my gold money thing promised me the same thing. Where's my gold?
Right.
You feel me?
It's always a trust issue. No way about it. And when I'm favorable to this idea, and I'm involved with it, but I would never recommend, you put all of your silver into a situation like this. You put some in and a level that's comfortable. And I've told everybody from the very start that when I pledge my silver as the load, the base of this monetary mass, so, there's no agency you have to go to and register and all that. It's all silver. So in other words, you bail in your silver, and that's how you became... have the availability of using AGX token. So you don't have to go to Coinbase or one of these intermediaries and give them all this information. Yeah. You basically deal directly with silver. So that's kind of an interesting concept right there in and of itself. What makes it different than a gold money or some of these other tokenized precious metals programs is this is basically a silver bank. So think of a bank in the old days, a real bank, when we had money, you know, like silver, gold. Well, in the bank, it had it in the vault, right? And if you went to the bank, you could get your property, your silver, out of the bank. Well, this works basically the same way. The deal being with a token is you can tokenize it and spend your silver in the marketplace, exchange it for fiat, but you really haven't done a lot of good. It may be convenient, but in this case, when you spend it, that silver that's been spent in the marketplace needs to be replenished. And the way it's replenished is when you spend the token, you're spending it at a markup, just like when you buy a silver coin. If silver's selling at $16 an ounce and you buy a silver eagle, it's going to cost you $2 more than that. Same thing here, because you're basically doing the same thing. Where does that $2 go? That $2 goes to a lot of things. It pays for the vaulting. It pays for the administration. It pays for advertising. And the sum of it that's left over buys more silver. So the metal mass continues to grow as the system grows. So now you've got a silver bank that's basically paid the load founders, the people that pledged their silver to start the process, in real silver in the form of AGX coins or silver itself.
You know, I'm hip, brother. This is a good idea. In fact, when we first started doing radio in 03, we were heavily involved in e-gold.
And I loved e-gold, by the way.
Yeah, and so did the man. They went after in Dubai and said, oh, it's ours now.
I did what I teach here. I started small, and I never got really big in it. But I had my e-gold card, took it to the gas station, worked perfect. I thought this guy's really on to something.
And 15 years ago.
I only had a few hundred dollars in it. And then, of course, the do-gooders closed him down, but he did nothing.
No. And this is my point. My IT guy that was set it up, he was, he's a big IT and he's all into it. And philosophically, I remember Wired magazine had a big ad on all these libertarians using e-gold and blah. This is 03. This is back when we had archived our shows from, a Terran radio station here in MP3. What's that, And what happened is they seized it, and it took just until like a year or two ago that we got our money back. I'm going, holy crap. So on this, I'm with you, and I can see how effective this would be, which is why the man won't like it.
We're not doing it for the man. We're doing it for the people.
Yeah, screw them. I don't care. But they got, helicopters and Hellfire missiles and stuff, So it's, but I'm with you. Don't think I'm not supportive of it. We have helped, build this mindset and this opportunity with the e-gold and with digital currencies, cryptos, and now load. And all. I'm in. And gold money, I'm first to market on. We'll try a little bit and promote it, and here we go. But I'm telling you, it's because it's effective, because it works, because it's a good idea, because it's convenient that they come after you. We had Eric Voorhees on when they started BitInstant. We did a live on this show to where I go to BitInstant. All right, where do I go? I want to do a couple hundred bucks, and all right, I go to my bank. You want to go to CVS Pharmacy, Wells Fargo. You want to go to, Western Union. You want to go to, I'll go to my bank, Bank America. We'll go Bank America. Walk in, boom, put in the money, got it to my blockchain.info. Wallet back in the day. I go to a silver dealer in Liberty Coins and Metals in Scottsdale. Got straight to silver. I go loop closed. I go cash, crypto, silver. Boom. We're done. Boom. They arrested Charlie Shrimp. I mean, they do not want this to happen. So load, I'm all over it. I'm just like, there is, you got to help me out and assuage my fears and that of anybody else that have gone through e-gold, that's gone through, gold money, that's gone through BitInstant, that we have load has addressed these concerns. How?
Well, first of all, I don't necessarily really want to speak for the company. So let me just tell everybody, and I'm not trying to evade the question. I'm just
I understand.
That honest.
First
thing is to go to AG, which is the periodic symbol for silver, AG.com. Lode, L-O-D-E dot O-N-E. So A-G dot load dot one. There's a video on there that explains the whole process a fairly effective and succinct way, because you can overthink this thing. It's not that complicated. As far as jurisdictions.
I'm sorry, is A-G dot load dot what?
O-N-E, one.
Okay.
A-G dot load dot one. So this is a continual thing. I mean, I just spoke to the principals. Like any blockchain, there's really no owners or anything like that, but the people that have the basic concept are continuing to look at it from every possible standpoint that you can, with the one idea is how are they going to take us down.
Well, they didn't want me to go to this one. They're saying security of whatever you're not, and kind of, and I went through anyway, but you know, I'm here.
So AG.load.1 didn't work, or did work?
No, I got it, but it said it security certificate of Google doesn't want you to do kind of something.
Gotcha, you know? Sorry. Yeah, well, I'll talk to them about that.
All right. But I'm here.
So right now, my last meeting with them, which is in Anarchapoco, which is what, a week ago or so, the main jurisdiction may end up in Mexico, because you need to be in a crypto-friendly environment. So that's the beauty about today's world, is you can put it in any jurisdiction you so see fit. So forget being in the U.S. Forget being, you know, it can be domiciled in a jurisdiction that's friendly to this concept. Now they've got a much bigger problem coming at you.
Well, you know, there's a
bigger. I'm not saying impossible. You know, I'm not.
No. I mean, you know, I'm for doing it just because of freaking doing it. You know, just to show what you don't get. It has to have support. It has to have people that are willing to demonstrate that this is an option, a possibility, and competition. I'm with you. I just want to make sure everybody understands that it's because it's easy, because it's effective, because it's endorsed by guys, and see how easy it is to use, and that's linking, you know, physical with, you know, digital. That's why the man don't like it. So we got, if they can, they will.
Talk live. Sorry to speak.
Okay, end of the show. We're going to, it's still streaming. We still record this. I want to finish up on this and make this clear to the audience. I am of the opinion, and how I, you know, talk to the audience is like this. If they, them, those, I go, who are they, you conspiracists? You know, who are they? I go, let me tell you who they are. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. Yeah, it's that simple. I go, you know, yep, it's they, them, those. You want to know who they are? That's who they are. They won't leave me alone. So I'm going, if they, them, those, if they can maintain, enhance, expand their intrusiveness, control, power over the individual, they will. They sure as hell want to. So I'm going, this, if they can, they will. So I need where they can't. You know what I mean? They can't. Because if they can, they are. Now, you can make it difficult, you can hold it off, you can show them what. So my gold money thing is enough in there to show, yeah, well, we're going to find out. Well, I'll do the same thing with load. It either is or it is not going to work. So they're serious about it. They got you involved in it. I'll go get some. We'll do it just because. So I can say, hey, man, you know, it's working or it's not. Because it's going to be something like this that's going to replace everything, and don't think they don't know it. So you're saying in a place where they got the actual silver is where?
Cayman Islands, primarily. There are other vaults, but that's the primary vault.
All right. Now, gold money, they got, like, I don't know, Shanghai and Hong Kong. They got, pick one. And I'm going, heck, I pick my safe. That's what I want to do. But the so now we have Cayman Islands, and you were saying something about Mexico?
That they may make the jurisdiction for where this crypto entity is out of a Mexican jurisdiction, because you want to have as favorable a government, as much as we love government,
right?
Don't we? That will be favorable to defend us. And if the man comes after, so you can't use it, you're in a Mexican jurisdiction. So the hell, we can't, you know, we can't here. So now that's
when, when you say the man, I mean, I know the man, they, them, those, what are you primarily talking about? I mean, does it just come down to central banks? Does it just come down to, you know, United, we rule you people of the crown or something? I mean, where do you think the threat comes from?
primarily from the banks, but sometimes it could come from the taxing authorities as well, as you know. I mean, no one wants anyone fucking with their money system. It's that simple. I mean, they killed Kennedy for it, as we both know.
Well, you know, the one thing I grew up in, this whole idea that, you know, Swiss bank accounts, secret.
I had one for 30 years and they made me leave.
Yeah, until you don't.
and I proved I wasn't a U.S. citizen, but they could give a fuck. As long as they thought I was, it was, and I was with them for 30 years. And when I cashed out and go, I have that big an account, just don't, you know, I mean, I'm fine, but you know, I'm not like super wealthy, but anyway, it was my money. And when I got it in gold, he warned me, and I dealt with this guy over the phone, and I didn't see him for like 20 years. One of my European trips, I stopped in the bank, met him face to face, because this guy's my age. So the times I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, talked to me, I'm talking to a guy my age, not that it matters, it's kind of a coincidence.
Yeah.
He goes, do not take this gold across the street two blocks away and deposit it in this secure, anonymous vault, because he goes, within 2 years, the Swiss authorities are going to take that one down too. So just take it home. So I took his advice. I didn't, because I was thinking, well, I'll just walk across the street and put it in an anonymous name, you know, the old Swiss numbered account kind of thing.
By the way,
I had nothing in that account except gold coins. I had no securities, no stock trading, no futures trading, options, none of that stuff. I had my signature in a box with gold coins in it. That's all I had. They still wouldn't let me keep that.
You know, I remember I had some supporters of the show, wealthy, and they do well, and they got stuff around. Well, they want to be legit. I mean, they're all, hey man, I just tell you what's up, and we got to, and then they had this law that was, you had to declare all precious metals in everywhere around the world. We want to know everything you got, and if you don't, and we find you got it, it's like $10,000 a day. And we got, I mean, the penalties were enormous if you didn't declare everything. So I'm just going, well, get your crap out of the, what? I am just so, I tell you, the crack up boom is going to be them coming crack up, boom us on the head and take all our stuff. You know, this is, and then when you got all these retirements, and that's one thing that Tim Pachote, the LibertyAdvisor.com, his whole thing was, he goes, look, all these baby boom, you're retiring. You know, it's a sequence of return risk and so on. He goes on about, you know, when you take it out and you move it out, they're going after the pet. They're going with it because that's where the money is. So if you're going to take it and move it and kind of, where do you put it? How do you protect it? How do you, all of a sudden I got Bill Gates and freaking Soros and Zuckerberg. Oh, we gave all our billions to charity. Bullshit. Okay. Bullshit. They did it to hide from, they got a escape hatch and they don't want you to know about it. So in your, people join your newsletter and they're talking about this kind of stuff. They're going, look, man, you know, we're in our 60s, 70s. We're kind of guy, we got to last this thing out. We might live to be 100, 150. I mean, you know, with technology or whatever, we got to make it last. So how, you know, is it like constant play in the game? It's having gains in the right area, getting that 800% in the right time. I mean, how do you even make it out without the man getting it all?
Well, I defer to Tim. I mean, he is better at that than I am. But, you know, metals are pretty anonymous. And you are allowed to contract in this country still. So if I wanted to, let's say, sell this house, take cash it out, put it into gold coins, I'd probably make a deal with my landlord. Hey, I'm going to pay X amount of gold per month for renting this apartment from you. Let's sign it for a year because the gold price is going to change, and let's revisit it a year from now. Okay, good deal.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, one way to do part of it. But no, it's tough. I mean, I've thought about it for years, and I don't have an answer for it.
You know, a lot of these kids, they do crypto. They go and live places and do things, you know, how much they can do on crypto. My thing is, though, is that, you know, we participate. I remember I got my first crypto when it was like $3 and something. But every time it makes a big shoot up, I'm like, woohoo, I get the, you know, some piece of equipment, or I get a bunch of work out of these guys. They do it for half the cost if you pay in crypto. So there went all my crypto. I want to know where all my crypto went. It went in a bunch of stuff, you know, and I'm going, yeah, it's it. But you kind of got to spin it in the system to keep the ecosystem going. And that's kind of the, you know, the role I play, I guess. You know, I've mined. I got miners out there. It's too expensive, you know, electricity now to the return to turn them on. But there's some, you know, we do a little monthly. I just flip them on, you know. divert the heat in to heat my house a little bit, you know? And I see this has legs, but there's much more threat to crypto than I think they're willing to admit. Certainly with quantum computing coming out and it's theirs now. And there's so much going. It's the concept, though, the education that you do and a lot of us have done and what Dr. Paul did throughout the years for people to know. Like Tim, he has a Series 7. He comes out of, you probably talked to him, he's a smart kid. He didn't know that the Federal Reserve wasn't Federal Reserve.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? His girlfriend, now his wife, gave him Creature from Jekyll Island because it was a thick book at the store on Federal Reserve because it was the biggest book. Just shut him up for a while. He gave him that. Yeah. He's like, what the hell? And if he didn't know, these guys coming out of these schools, they don't know until recently. Now it's so much in the on social media and your stuff and everything. They know. Now what?
Yeah. Well, we've got to break away. And that's, I agree with Mike Maloney and others that this whole blockchain concept is either going to go one of two ways. And it's either going to be the final noose around our necks, or it is going to be a path to freedom. That's why I like the load concept, because you don't have to go through Coinbase or any of those things to register and give all that information. All you got to do is directly deal with the load people and send it up there with your silver. And I gave more than a schoolboy investment. And I was going to kind of load the load. And then I thought about it. I don't want to risk that much silver. I'll risk this much silver.
But is it fiat? Or, I mean, do you actually physically sending the suitcase down?
Everything is physical silver. There's no fiat involved. See, so it's going to be hard when the man comes after us in a way, I think, legally. Because it's like, well, we never touched a fucking Federal Reserve note. Yeah. We never touched a fucking euro. We never touched any of your shit.
If I was to do this, I go on, I'm on the page here, and I go, okay, I got some silver. Send down some silver, have some silver, what's the minimum they want?
100 ounces.
100 ounces. I send them 100 ounces of silver, which is, I don't know, a couple of $1,000, let's say. So I go down and I got, and I have access to it, not with a Visa or anything. I'm using
it
a crypto wallet.
With a Visa eventually.
But I'm using a crypto wallet, right?
Yep. You are. Correct.
All right. Yeah, maybe we'll play with that because the man don't.
Well, I'd love you to do it. And then, 3 months from now or something, we could have another chat on your show about how you like it or don't like it. I mean, look, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I want to help everyone.
Well, how do I get, do I ship it? Is it FedEx kind of thing? It can go?
Yeah, they'll actually give you, they're pretty efficient. They'll send you an email. You print the label off of your computer printer, stick it on the box, and give it to FedEx.
Wow, I'm, I think I got 100 ounces just for grins and giggles, and that's one thing, though, is the crypto, is it equal a weight? Is it by value?
By grams of silver. Each token is 1 gram of silver.
Now, but the token, does it always, so I guess there would be private arbitrage just to keep it close, right? So it doesn't just spike up to something.
Correct.
So it's self-correcting. So you don't, if I'm buying load, woohoo, I got load and it went up to gazillion, only if silver went up.
Yeah, pretty much. It will have a premium, but not a stupid premium. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, just out of principle, just because I'm looking for, are you able to go to a site before I let you go? Are you able to go to a site on your computer while we're talking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go to piratewithoutborders.com.
Okay.
The second letter of Captain Mark. Here, we'll go up together so everybody knows what we're doing. The we go to pirate.
Oops. Oh, come. I better Google it. I can't spell. It's a problem. Okay. Pirates Without Borders. P-I-R-A-T-E-S. Without. There we go. Pirates Without Borders. Okay. I'm there.
Okay, and you see the pirate ship, spaceship thing there,
yep.
And so on. Okay, now you go at the top, all of those categories of decentralization into whatever category, communication, energy, whatever. And communication is where we put cryptos because it communicates prices. Now, below the ship, you'll see the letters of Captain Mark, is a book. I don't know if I gave you a book or not. You need to get one. But where it says, read the letters of Captain Mark online. Click on that.
Okay, done.
Now, go to the second letter of Captain Mark. Now, that second letter is all about crypto. Because if we're going around in our spaceship doing, I ain't hauling gold, okay? Because, that just ain't happening. You know, so we're doing our trading, and we got to have a crypto. Now, when all of this is before the Bitcoin Cash fork, and we're like, we're not endorsing anyone. What we're doing is it has to have these particular traits. If you go through, and what we don't want is now the Crown uses digital currency as a new tool of predation, granting it unprecedented power to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy our wealth at will. The Crown invades servers, seizes records, intercepts signals, and freezes accounts. So the currency of pirates must possess features to defend against this weaponized money. Now, I do not want to go in like a load and it be a weaponized money. I want to be able, you see my point? So we're,
oh yeah, so absolutely.
So we're putting up the criteria for us to be able to endorse certain cryptos. Now, so this, I'm not sure it would meet that, but it doesn't mean we can't use it as one when we go in and out of crypto into silver, whatever. So the point is that we've addressed this from the standpoint of, foreverism and I got in mind and how we're going to do it. Now, the third letter is on privacy. So that's another thing. But in the crypto space and in, the liberty space and, in the Levolution space and all the bond, that's how these guys know me, is from pirates. We're doing this decentralization of everything. And I'm willing to do this load thing just as another example. It's going to work or not until it doesn't. And what was the reason why it failed or it didn't fail? So you got to have supportive jurisdictions, and when they went to Dubai, with e-gold in the borders, the customs area of the kind of in the airport of something, whatever, they thought they were safe.
I know. So did I. That's why I put my toe in the water.
And I'm willing to do it again just so, what the hell? We're going to learn, and it's going to come down to, it's going to be, it's freaking mine, which is why, Tim, I go, don't even come to me with this retirement and you're doing and kind of adding some crypto if I don't have the keys. I don't have the keys, I don't even want to play, So this is where we're going. Hey, David, thanks for spending this extra time with me. TheMorganReport.com. I think I'll do this. And then we'll talk later, and we'll let go a little bit, and we'll have it on because I slap Peter Schiff around about my gold money every chance I get. But I want to make sure that we follow this through because I think you're right. It's a coming. Whatever form this crack up, boom, change and do, and somebody's going to make a bunch on something. And because of load that and its features as silver being able to be used quickly as crypto may be one of the features that drive it up.
Yep. Going to be convenience. The millennials don't want to hold a silver coin. I get that. But that doesn't mean they don't want an asset-backed currency that's anonymous.
Well, when Bitcoin first came out, we did it. I talked about it on my show. We need like an app, Freedom. There's an app for that, exchanging silver. And then within a couple of weeks, a listener, some geek guy said, boom, here it is. You go up and you look for silver calculator on, iOS or Android, and you'll have this app. And what it does, you put in all the kinds of silver you have, ounces, junk silver, 90%, this, that, whatever, you put it in and you go to a festival or something and it automatically updates the spot price so that you know what your change is when you do at a festival out in the middle of the pork fest in the field that you can exchange silver because you got it in your hand, the point of sale system. Done.
Awesome.
So, I mean, we're on it, man. We had a big campaign. It was like the silver bullet, you know, the Coors thing. Get all aboard the love train and everything. Oh, man, we milked the crap out of it.
Good. Whereabouts in Arizona are you?
Phoenix and Northwest Phoenix, you know, Arrowhead area of whatever. It's Northwest Phoenix.
I got my webmaster's in Santan Valley. Next time I'm down there, I'll give you a heads up.
Hell yeah. You know, Santan, that's way on the other side. But my son lives out near there, so it'd be worth going. But the, Dave, we're not done. You know, this is the day. We're following in the right area. We've got our bead and paying attention to the right things here. I'm with you, brother.
Okay, and hopefully next time I won't cough the whole damn
interview. No, I appreciate you coming on. And I've been like, because you were kind of getting there when we were at Narcapoca. Sounds like you're getting better.
A little bit, yeah. I am getting a little better, finally. It was a rough ride down there. It's a stupid airliner air. That stuff is the most toxic shit you can breathe.
Yeah, man. That's why you take those, you know, those little vitamin, what the hell they call them, onboard air or something, whatever.
Airborne.
Yeah, this is, you know, thanks for spending this time with me, David. I look forward to talking to you again.
Ernest, I look forward to it as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, peace.
Peace.